Amen. So last week, we spent a lot of time in the book of Malachi, and we wanted to go through some principles of tithing. And we only got through one, but it was powerful, and it was so awesome to see how God just set so many people free that day. It was just a cleansing that took place. If you weren't here, I really want to encourage you to listen to last week's message on the website because we're just going to flow right into the other points we want to get into today. Well, the first point that we did talk about was how when we give God what is already His, give back to God. And you know what? We use the word giving. It's actually returning is what it is. It's not giving. It's returning. He removes the curse over the things. And that's what we talked about. So just to get right into it, the second principle. Today we're going to move a little bit around. We're not going to be focused on one passage only. Second point is, tithe, what we return to God, what we give to God, is holy to God. Our tithe is actually holy to God. Some of you may remember the story of David and his men when they were running away from King Saul and went into this town full of priests. And they were starving and they ate from the bread that was on the altar. Well, that was people's giving, their tithing. And some people were bent out of shape because they recognized the holiness, the importance of what that meant. That what is God's is holy to God. Remember, where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. But God is a holy God. And where His presence is holy ground. That's what He told Moses, right? Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground because where I am. Well, what is God's? What He touches is holy, is anointed. So our tithe is holy. And in Leviticus 27:30, God giving instruction to Israel on how to prosper in the promised land. This is what He says. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. And what? It is holy to the Lord. If it's holy, that means it's separated, it's consecrated, it's meant for, it is touched by Him, it is set apart for, it is His. You don't take what is God's. Kind of like, you know, you don't go to another man's house and start grilling on his barbecue grill. That's his grill. That's sacred. How much more is the tithe of the Lord? It is His. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 2. It shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first fruit of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, that is the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide. So you're taking it, you're putting it together, and you're taking to where He is. Why? So we can have a picnic? No. So you can offer it up because it is His. It is a recognition of this belongs to God. Remember, this is we're talking about an act of worship. My praise is holy to God when I worship Him, when I give it to Him. My broken heart and contrite spirit is holy to God when it's laid at His altar before Him. My actions in life, when they are consecrated and dedicated to Him, the choices I make, the even choices as simple as who I choose to spend time with and who I shouldn't spend time with, becomes holy to God. My time is holy to God when it is dedicated to God. Because if I'm going to say, I lay myself at your altar, Lord, I'm not laying a part of me, am I? And what is on the altar is holy. to God. So when I say, Lord, I lay my house at your altar. I lay my car at your altar. I lay my family at your altar. I lay my heart, my attitude, my job at your altar. That means I'm dedicating it to God. I'm consecrating it for God. I'm setting apart. I'm recognizing it has been set apart because I recognize who blessed me with these things and what it means, and that God wants to do something with it. God doesn't give us or bless us just for the sake of, I got nothing better to do. Now, he blesses because he loves us so much, as a father blesses children. But you know what? My part is I get to give him glory. I get to testify of who he is. And that becomes holy to God, consecrated to God. It becomes his. Any healing, anything, it's consecrated, it's holy to God because I give him the glory for it. I lay it at the altar. I give thanks for it with a heart of praise. This is what I love now. In Deuteronomy 26, now 13 and 14. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. In other words, I recognize it doesn't belong to me. And you can even take this now in the broader sense that my job does not belong to me, but God has placed me here in this place. What I have doesn't belong to me. I'm removing it from my attitude of possession. Keep that in mind. My attitude that it's mine, mine, mine. My wife likes to think everything that she has is hers and everything that I have is hers too. So it's that attitude of realizing that, same thing, I have to, I guess, realize that at that point, that everything is God's. It's that attitude that it does not belong to me. And you know, we talk about the whole liberty and freedom thing. If I realize it's not mine, I don't have to hold on to it so tight. I am free to let it go. So I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it from an unclean house, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and I've done according to all that you have commanded me. In other words, God, I recognize that it's not mine, and I wasn't going to pretend it is. My attitude has changed from it, and I'm not going to keep it as if, and I'm going to do it exactly your way, not my way. I'm doing it exactly your way. And I'm going to give it to you. See, when I realize the tithe is holy, I don't want it in my house. Think about that. If I realize something belongs to God, I don't want it anywhere near a setting where I will think it belongs to me. It is God's. Why? Because it burns in my pocket. I want to get it out of my house and into the house of God. I want to get it off of my altar and place it at God's altar. Because it's his. It's holy. I don't want it to burn holes in my pocket. I want to give God what is his. Because, let's be honest, the longer we keep possession of something or have an attitude of possession of something, the more we're going to start believing it belongs to us. The more we're going to accept and start hearing the lies of the enemy. You don't have to do this now. You can, you know, give half here, do halfway there, and do halfway here. You know, you can pay this bill and just make it up later, and so forth. You start to play games a little bit. Because the enemy does not want you to do it God's way. And that's why one of the principles my wife and I have, once every time we get paid, that's the first thing that comes out. We don't even look at our bills till we take that out because we want to get it out of our pockets. It does not belong to us. We write it out, and I put it with my stuff that's going to church Sunday morning. Anything that belongs to God goes in that place where it's coming to the house of God, no matter what it is, because it belongs to Him. It's holy. It's been sanctified. By me holding on to it, it becomes unsanctified. It becomes unholy. And it goes back to what we talked about last week with the curse. Because it becomes defiled by my attitude. And the door of God's hand at work in my life becomes shut at that point. See, Jacob in Genesis 28:22 said this, "And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth." This is, again, 400 years before the actual law of Moses. He said this. Jacob vows to tithe from a grateful heart. He didn't know principle of tithing. He did it out of a grateful heart because he recognized that it all belongs to God. This is what God did, and it is holy to God. He set it apart for that. He wanted to give God the first and the best with a pure heart. And 1 Peter 1:16, most of us know this verse, simply says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." So maintain a pure heart. If I'm going to maintain a pure heart, I need to have everything that I do, everything that I am, sanctified and holy before the Lord. That's part of it. Leave no room for the enemy to enter in. I promise you, every single time we do it backwards, where we look at our bills before we even give God what belongs to Him, return to God what belongs to Him, I hear that voice, "How are you going to do this? Or maybe you shouldn't do this much." Don't leave room for the enemy to take something that is sanctified, that God wants to build a blessing upon, and make it unsanctified and unholy. Don't rob yourself of what God wants to do in your life. Don't rob yourself of the faith God wants to build in you. Don't rob yourself of the anointing God wants to pour on you and the blessing He wants to bless your household with. Whatever God touches is blessed. But if He can't touch it because I'm slapping His hand away, it won't be blessed. And we're talking about the overall principle here as well. And this leads me to the next thing, that the tithe is blessed. 2 Chronicles 31:4-10 says this, "Moreover, He commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them in heaps." Now listen to this. "In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the priest and the princesses came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and His people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, 'Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed His people, and that which is left is this great store.'" In other words, people started giving and honoring God with these things. God began to do wonderful things in their lives and bless their lives. What happened? They kept giving. They wanted this much, yet, or this is all they needed, yet the Lord, because of the heart of the people, was able to bless this much because the people kept giving and giving. They were filled with that anointed giving. They saw God's hand at work. People tithed. God blessed more. The more God blessed, the more people gave, had to give. Think about it. These people, what they were tithing was their first fruits from what they had. What did they have? They had sheep, oxen, they had grains, they had fruit, they had wine, they had oil, right? What happened? As they tithed those things, God blessed them with more oil, more sheep, more oxen, you know, more fruit, more grains, more wine, all those things. So their land became fruitful. As their land became more fruitful because God was blessing their tithe, they were able to give God even more. And it was a beautiful cycle that even Hezekiah and the other priests came together and going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with all this stuff? We were expecting this much and look what the Lord has done. Notice it wasn't the priests who did this. It wasn't the priests that had to get up and motivate the people to do this. It was the people seeking the heart of God, seeing the hand of God as they sought the heart of God and decided, wow, we want to honor God. Look how He's honoring us. Let's honor Him some more. We want to bless Him. We want to do what His Word says. And they did. God blesses the people of God as they brought their provisions, as they brought those things into His house. They honored Him, so He honored them. It's a simple principle. You do it God's way, God blesses it. It's that simple. It is holy to Him. And it is blessed. It is blessed. Our tithes are blessed. I have never, ever heard, I'll be honest with you, you know, I grew up in church since, like, you know, 2 days out of my mom's womb. And I can probably tell you I've missed a week where I didn't go to church maybe, you know, 20 times in my entire lifetime. Okay? It's one of those things. So I grew up in the church, basically. I have never, ever heard anyone complain in a sorrowful or dejected or needy attitude about money who tithed. Never. I've never. The people who are constantly complaining about finances are people who don't tithe or don't do it fully God's way, do it halfway. I'm being very honest. I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty, but I'm speaking to you the truth. You do it God's way, God works. I've done it my way. And I went for years struggling with this. I've done it halfway, and I struggled. It wasn't till when I started doing it God's way, the blessing came. Nobody ever complains, you know, and have that poverty mentality who gives God what is His, who honors God with what is. Nobody. Why? Because God always seems to meet their needs. They always have what they need because He is faithful. Those that complain are the ones that don't. You know, it's hard for some of us maybe to hear, but that's the truth. That's the truth. And I've lived that truth myself. And I know many in this room have had that testimony as well. But when we give God what is His, when we honor God the way He calls us to honor Him, He blesses it. It's that simple. He blesses it. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouses that there may be food in my house. This is what God said. What did they do? They brought them and they kept bringing them. And His word in Malachi that says, my storehouses overflow, came to fruition. Wasn't planned that way. There wasn't a six-part sermon series on it. There wasn't a fund or a drive, financial drive or some kind of drive or petition to make it happen. God's hand was on it. God blessed it. People saw it. People loved on God. They wanted more. They wanted to honor him more. He blessed them more. And their land became fruitful. You know, in our modern day, I want me to be fruitful at my job. When I do it God's way, when I tithe, the way God has called me to, he's going to bless the land at my job. I will be effective as an employee, but I will be effective as a child of God. Because if my attitude's right here, it's going to be right here as well. God will bless it one way or another. And you young people, again, who are starting out with jobs and stuff, you want God to bless you with your managers, with your bosses, with the work of your hand that you would even possibly move quicker through the ranks, or just with the blessing of being surrounded by great people who you can touch and be touched by in the things of God. Do it God's way. Tithe. His way. Let him create the blessing. That's what he wants to do. He wants this for us. And the fourth and final point, the tithe is multiplied. Luke 9, 12 to 17 says this story, which most of us are familiar with. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in the deserted place here." But he said to them, "Give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all the people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." See, let's get something straight. The miracle did not happen by Jesus' hand. Think about that. Many of us read that and say, "Oh, Jesus did it." Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and the fish. The miracle happened in the hands of the disciples who took what they had, all that they had, and gave it to God. And then it was by their hands that it was multiplied. See, God honored their giving and their serving, and he blessed it and it multiplied. Because keys to multiplication is simple. Something must be blessed if it is going to be multiplied. If I want God to multiply things in my life, I want his blessing has to be on it. If I want an increase, his blessing has to be on it. And for his blessing to be on it, it goes back to doing it his way. Doing it the right way, the way he set it up to be done. Before money can multiply, it must be blessed. Before my work can be multiplied, it must be blessed. My effort can be multiplied, it must be blessed. Given to the Lord according to his principles. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many times, even yesterday, you know, in my mind, I had to get up. I had a list of things I needed to do. But I kept feeling the Holy Spirit say, "I'm going to bless what you do if you do it my way. And my way is get with me in the morning and focus on me, not get with me, plan a half hour and move on." Because I have a tendency sometimes when I have things on my mind to go, "Okay, we'll do this for 30 minutes and then I'll get back, and then I'll go do my stuff. Or do this for an hour and then I'll do this." And the Lord just spoke even real early in the morning and said, "Just dedicate your day to me by giving me the first of your day, your tithe of your day, and I'll get you, I'll have you, and you'll accomplish everything you want to accomplish. And he did. And I'm learning more and more. Before I start any project, how do I get it blessed? I ask God to bless it. I pray over it. I ask, Lord, let this be anointed so it works. Give me wisdom. I mean, simple, silly things as, Lord, I couldn't find the coffee filter yesterday morning, but I didn't pray. So, Lord, I'm praying now. Open my eyes to see the coffee filters. I want you to bless that. And he does. It's amazing. It's amazing how God works sometimes. Little things. You want it to multiply, it has to be blessed. Romans 11:16 says, for the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and the root is holy, so are all the branches. So when you start it off the right way, God's way, and the roots are holy, it's going to affect everything. Everything from the ground up, including the fruit. So let it be blessed when it is holy, when we consecrate it as holy to God. And it'll work. And only what is given away can multiply. Only what is given away. One of our core values, our core vision of this church is to equip the saints for the kingdom. And one way we do this is we mentor or disciple to mentor and disciple. No one has claimed a deed to a specific position or ground. Our job is, I'm serving the Lord in this way. Let me train somebody up and equip them so they can serve in this way. Because it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about the, quote, position I hold. It's not about, well, this is mine. So, you know, you can't have it. It's not about insecurity of losing my role or position. If I want God to multiply, I have to give it away. I have to pour it out. I have to share it. That's a basic biblical principle. For God's kingdom to grow, what do we have to do? Spread grace. Love on people. Why? Because God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. So he loved us. He poured it on us for us to pour it on other people. You want something to multiply, you give it away. You give it up. You pour it out. It's very, very simple. After Jesus blessed the bread and the fish, what did the disciples do? That was their dinner that night. They gave away their dinner. What did they have? They had leftovers for breakfast. Because they gave it away. Remember the parable of the talents? How those who were trusted with the talents were blessed when they gave it away, when they invested it, when they did it, and the one who just kind of hid it and just kept it for himself, out of fear and insecurity, covered it up, he wasn't blessed. You want God to multiply something, you give it away. Finances over and above the tithe, sometimes even shared, will be blessed. Because it's amazing. We tithe in obedience to God. We tithe with a cheerful heart, I pray. But sometimes God says, I want you to do more here. I want you to give more there. You know what? I count that all joy. Because that's an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God, into what God is doing, what he's called us to do. Because he will bless it. He will completely bless it. Give it away. Trust God with it. Goes back to Malachi. Test me now. Try me now and see. Because he is faithful. So tithing is simply returning to God that which he said already is his, that belongs to him already. It's giving our first fruits, our 10% to the Lord. And tithe is returning God what is His. Tithing is where we remove the curse. We give to the Lord first so our finances are blessed. We give over and above our tithes because only that which is shared can be multiplied. Tithing is what causes God, and this is the part, if you weren't here last week, you need to listen to the message, rebukes the devourer over our life and over the things that we have, and opens the window of heaven for God's blessing to pour out. I pray that over the last 3 weeks that we have kind of come before the Lord with this, that God opened you, and as you've taken steps of faith, because part of this is our steps of faith, to try me now and see, test me now and see, as you've done that, that you are seeing His hand of faith working, that your faith is growing in it. And I would encourage you, if you haven't started, to do it now. Not because the church needs your money, not because God needs our money, but because God wants to have a way in our lives to bless our lives. God wants us to open the door for Him to enter in and move mightily and build our faith and increase what He's pouring into us, creating liberty, giving us the freedom now to make choices, free to go and do the things He's called us to. Because as long as we're bound, we're stuck. When we are bound, we are not able to freely move and go where the Lord's calling us to go and do. He wants us to be free to do those things. And we do that by doing it His way. And we trust Him with it. Would you stand with me right now? Lord, we thank You for Your revelation this morning and over the last few weeks. Holy Spirit, we thank You for what You have shown us and what You want to do in our lives. And I really feel like today, last week was a cleansing, but today is kind of a freeing, just setting us free now from our mindsets and our attitudes. So Lord, we just thank You and we bless that right now. We thank You that You are setting us free, that we are no longer going to be bound by a spirit of poverty, an attitude of poverty, but faith will arise as we do it Your way, as we trust You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just ask for increased faith right now, supernatural gifts right now, Holy Spirit. Increase faith on each person here right now. Just bless them, baptize them with a supernatural anointing of faith right now. Increase right now, Holy Spirit. Right now. Touch right now.